It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And today is Giving Tuesday, a day meant to encourage people to think about and support the communities in which we live. And so for the rest of the program, we're going to continue what's becoming an annual tradition here at the 21st Show. We want to pull back the curtain and give you the chance to hear from some members of the team who put the show together day in and day out, sharing some of our favorite and or most memorable segments from this past year. We're doing this in the hopes that it will inspire you to support your local public radio station, and by extension, this program. You can visit your favorite station's website, and right there at the top of the page is a link that says Donate. It's not called public radio for nothing. This program, this community, depends on the public, and that means you. So please, don't wait for another occasion. Go online now and click Donate. In a moment, we're going to hear from some of the people I work with every day, producer Christine Hatfield and news director Reginald Hardwick. But first, we're going to begin chronologically with a segment we first aired in January. It was on the alleged creature known as Bigfoot. And let me tell you, this conversation yielded one of the most passionate, wild exchanges in my time with the show. It featured Matt Moneymaker, president of the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization and a cast member of the Animal Planet TV show Finding Bigfoot. The excitement came in because we also invited Paul Garber, a primatologist and emeritus professor from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. In the clip, we're about to hear Moneymaker telling Garber why Garber's understanding of primates is too limited to grasp the possibilities of a rarely seen large ape-like creature, or many creatures, in the U.S.
So they adapted to a different lifestyle, different kind of nutrients, not foraging in groups, but really kind of roaming around like kind of omnivorous predators, and very much like ancient humans. And they could have evolved that direction. And I think the future point, you'll see that that's what actually happened.
I guess all I could say is there's no evidence. You're telling a story, and there's no physical evidence or scientific evidence right now to support your story. There's only one
species.
There's
so wrong about that.
Okay,
there is so much evidence.
I'm gonna break in here to say I'm sorry. I did not hope this would become sort of a debate. I mean, I think there are people are thinking they're seeing things. The conversation was a lot of fun, and an interesting clash of science on the one hand and what the other side calls cryptozoology. If you want to hear more from that, we're planning to rerun the whole thing later this month when I'm taking a few days off. All right, now I want to bring in 21st Show producer Christine Hatfield. And Christine, you chose perhaps the single biggest surprise moment I've experienced in the more than 2.5 years I've been hosting the 21st Show.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest moment that surprised me, it was the time we had on a professor who discovered a new species of lizard in the Andes Mountains. And I mean, it was an interesting enough segment. This was back in August. I guess I'm speaking on behalf of Aiden Choate, former producer of ours, and Aiden teed up everything. Well, we spent a good amount of time talking with the professor. Edgar Lair was his last name. And it was an interesting enough conversation as it was, but it was when we were getting toward what we thought was going to be the end of the conversation that things took a turn.
All right, so you're recently named, I didn't mention this, but a 2022-23 Fulbright Scholar to Peru. Can you briefly remind our listeners what the Fulbright program is about and what are the goals for your project?
Yeah, first I should say something that I've not mentioned before. The Otichen National Park is in the Cocaine Valley of Peru. Yeah, so it's a very dangerous area where anarcho traffickers are active, and we got contact with those people. So to make it short, we had to be rescued by special forces with the military helicopter flown out a week earlier.
Oh my gosh.
Because they were approaching us. So with this in mind, the narco traffickers, the drug cartel knows my name. They were using drones to spy on us. And at the Illinois Wesleyan banner, and I'm the only one doing research in Peru. And they followed even after we got rescued us out of the military airbase. So I have obviously security reasons to return to Peru for Fulbright because we interfered with narco-trafficking activities, probably they lost money as a result of this. So I contacted Fulbright and asked them to switch the host country. So I'm going to a different country out of the drug area.
So, yeah, I mean, as we were thinking about the best segments of the year, I went back to the Slack chat from that day because we keep a Slack chat going behind the scenes as the show goes on. Just sort of the little voice in Brian Mackey's ear saying, hey, maybe this is where we should go with this bit next. And here we were getting ready to lead into the next conversation, which was a book conversation of some sort. And here, the very next message is Aiden going, OMG, I was not aware of that. And then if you go down a little more, Brian going, holy cow. I mean, we plan these shows ahead of time. We try and plan them as best we can. But this came out completely out of left field for us. And I mean, we were all caught off guard, but you know what? We rolled with it. Brian, when we came back from the break for that segment, he kept on going, asked all these questions about the professor's experiences. And I think it made for such compelling radio. And that's one of the things I love about the 21st, about the work we do, is that we have the flexibility to do these things and the ability to just go with the flow, and that element of surprise, that sense of anything can happen. I don't feel like it's something we see or rather hear a lot in radio, let alone in public radio nowadays. It's one of the reasons I enjoy the work we do so much. I try not to take it for granted, and I hope we're going to be able to keep doing that work for a long time to come.
Most definitely. Thanks, Christine.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
Anything can happen on the air, as she said, and as we've seen time and again covering the news, anything can happen here in Illinois. And when the worst kinds of stories do happen here, our team scrambles to help public radio listeners learn about what's happening and about the broader forces behind the news. That was the case on Independence Day, when parade-goers in Highland Park, Illinois, were murdered by a young man firing into the crowd from a rooftop. I remember producer Jose Zepeda had just started and helped pull together an excellent set of conversations on the tragedy, including an eyewitness account from a man named Rick Atterbury, who was attending the parade.
We actually lived just two blocks from Central Street where the shooting occurred. So we went down to the parade about 9:30 because the children's parade begins at 9:30. And thank goodness this shooting did not occur during the children's parade. We were just to the right of the viewing stand, and that put us about 55 yards from where the shooter was, and about 15 to 20 yards from where some of the victims fell.
It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Today is Giving Tuesday, and we're listening back to some of the most memorable conversations we had this year on the program in the hopes it will inspire you to support your local public radio station. All right, I want to bring in another voice now, News Director Reginald Hardwick. If you've spent time in Central Illinois, you're bound to hear about Allerton Park and Retreat Center. Robert Allerton donated the mansion and gardens to the University of Illinois. Back in June, we explored lesser-known facts about Allerton. Reginald, welcome. Why did you pick this as one of your favorite segments of the year?
One of the things I love most about the 21st, Brian, is that our audience learns something new during every show. And for those of us in Champaign-Urbana, it's not unusual to travel to Allerton Park for a retreat or a concert or even take a leisurely walk or hike. There's also a history that a lot of us know in this area, that at the turn of the century, we're talking 1800s to 1900s, Robert Allerton was known as one of Illinois' richest bachelors. He was educated as an artist in Europe before settling near Monticello, where the Retreat Center still stands now. Robert met and later adopted a man named John Gregg, and they referred to each other for decades as father and son. Now, that's the brochure version of the history, but we learned from author and University of Kansas professor Nicholas Surrett that Robert and John were a domestic couple at a time when society did not accept or recognize gay or same-sex couples.
The main argument I make in the book is simply that they had decided at a certain point that they wanted to be together, but they had to have some sort of story to tell people. It would be strange for these two men separated in age by 26 years simply to start living together without some explanation for why it was. And they needed an explanation because of Robert's immense wealth. That is, he was already in the public eye. In 1906, the Chicago Tribune had named him the richest bachelor in Chicago. People expected this man to marry, and they certainly paid attention to what he did when he was in Chicago, especially. He was written about in the papers all the time just for going to the opera, for attending a party, that sort of thing. So if he wanted to bring this young man around with him everywhere he went, they had to have some sort of story.
You just heard from author Nicholas Surrett, who wrote the book An Open Secret, The Family Story of Robert and John Gregg Allerton, and he appeared on the 21st back in June. And he says, although close friends knew they were a couple, by saying they were father and son, the Allertons were able to travel around the world together. And Surrett also made the point that Robert Allerton's immense wealth made it possible for him to move about the world with great privilege and not be questioned about having a much younger man next to him. But there's something else that is not commonly known about the Allertons. Surrett told us about John Gregg Allerton's involvement in a certain fraternity.
He was in a college organization at the University of Illinois called the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK. And these existed at other universities in the Midwest as well. And in his case, there was one representative from each fraternity who was a member of this. We have no evidence that they, for instance, marched, wore robes, that sort of thing. But it's absolutely inconceivable that he did not know of the greater KKK movement, which was quite popular in the Midwest during the 1920s. So at the very least, he was not at all uncomfortable with the notion of aligning himself with a vicious racist organization, even if he was not an active participant in the manner of burning crosses and wearing robes and so forth. So it's not good, for sure.
Yeah, and both Gregg and Allerton were racist and anti-Semitic, right?
They were. There's plenty of evidence in their letters. They insisted on traveling in certain places where they would not run into people of color or Jews. This is, of course, weirdly ironic because they traveled all over the world where all they did was interact with people of color.
So we learned a very complicated history of Robert and John Allerton. They used wealth and privilege to maintain a gay relationship over decades, but those same traits also afforded them to practice racism and anti-Semitism. And if it wasn't for this book and that segment on the 21st, I don't know how many people would know that history.
No, that's certainly true for me. I've been visiting Allerton for decades now, and that was the first I'd learned about much of what was in that book. All right, thanks for bringing that up, Reginald.
Sure.
All right, that is all the time we have for this Giving Tuesday. Once again, if you appreciate the 21st show, if you appreciate all of the programming you can hear on this station, whether you're listening to us in Rockford or DeKalb or Aurora or Chicago or Peoria or the Quad Cities or Bloomington or Normal or Champaign, Urbana, Danville, Decatur, Springfield, or any of the points in between, this is the time to support your local public radio station on this Giving Tuesday, because it really takes a village to make public radio. There are not only our producers, Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda, and our interns, Owen Henderson and Anaya Jones and Zainab Qureshi, and the technical direction we get from Jason Croft and Steve Mork, and our news director, Reginald Hardwick, but there are also countless engineers and development directors and building service workers and general managers and other news reporters all throughout the public radio system that bring you the 21st show and all the great programming you hear every day on this station. So on this Giving Tuesday, please go to the website of your favorite public radio station, click on that donate button, and show your support for this community that we're all a part of. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow.